one here, the rowdies one there. They kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there. Then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Doug Miller Sports Dome, the Diplomat Banquet Center, the Soccer Shack, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, and Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti, your co-host. Thanks for sticking around and waiting for us to come on the air tonight. And unfortunately, University of Rochester losing to Medi by 1 point tonight, but there'll be many more games for the U of R this season, and we will have no more basketball. I believe we'll be interrupting our show, or not interrupting, but delaying our show anymore this season. So we're going to be on Monday nights all the way through the winter, and we look forward to having you listen to us and being a part of our show here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Tonight, we'll continue our discussion about the Rhinos, the NASL, and the USL Pro League. We hope to have two important parties from either side to give us both sides of the story. We're definitely going to have Pat Erkley, the new president and COO of the Rhinos, on, and we're hoping to have with us the president of Miami FC, Aaron Davidson. And we'll also look ahead to MLS Cup 2010 in Toronto this coming Sunday, featuring the unlikely matchup of FC Dallas and the Colorado Rapids. And we'll be talking with former Rhino Danny Earls of the Rapids as the Rapids look to gain their first MLS championship. And now here's our host, the 2010 Italian Sports Hall of Fame inductee, Joe Sirianni.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And in this dark night, soccer certainly it's a very bright future because, you know, I watched the game last night, and it was great. I mean, to see 18,000 people and all cheering, it was a great game between LA and Dallas. And unfortunately for you, you know, the better team won this time. Okay, and they were the better team in the field. And anyway, but the soccer, it's you know, what we are all about, and just like you said, we're going to discuss. At least we're going to give our views about, not necessarily we're going to ask people to give their views on the difference, if there is any, between the leagues, and the reason why. So we just there's one thing that it's very important that we say, Soccer Kick in the Grass, so we are promoter of soccer. We are the people that put the money where our mouth is, in a sense.
Well, we are sponsors too.
I know, but we put the effort to put, you know, to have this show on the air, and it's been on for a long time. So the reality of the thing is that we want soccer to live in Rochester at all costs, because without soccer in Rochester, sure, we can talk about the MLS and all the other things, but the flavoring, it's Rochester soccer. So I'm glad that the Rhinos are here. I'm glad that Pat Erkley is the new president. He has a keen eye. He's got a bright future in soccer. He took a giant step, you know, by assuming a full-time position. So that makes me think that soccer in Rochester has stability. No, not like in previous years.
Well, we're gonna talk with Pat a little bit later on in the show. We also want to remind everybody that, again, if you do not know that WYSL is also on FM, it is 92.1 on your FM dial, and right in the city of Rochester and Monroe County, comes in nice and strong during the winter months, so be sure to tune us in there or via the Internet. Or on your mobile device, you can go on to WYSL1040.com, hit on click to listen to the broadcast, and your mobile phone will become your radio. So you can listen to us in a lot of different ways. And also, if you want to be a part of our show, part of the WYSL and Soccer's Kick in the Grass family, for being a sponsor of our show for 2011, be sure to contact myself, Andrew Battisti, at andrew@soccerisakickinthegrass.com, or Joe Sirianni at joe@soccerisakickinthegrass.com. And we also want to give our congratulations, and I guess from what Joe told me, oh, before the show, it's a bit of controversy. Well, what would soccer be without controversy? Talking about the SUNY Brockport men's soccer team had a great season. They defeated the NYU Violets in the first round of the NCAA tournament, but then lost to Merchant Marine in the second round. And from what, Joe, you told me, there was a bit of controversy in that match that wasn't really reported in anywhere else.
No, not at all. And, I talked to Gary LaPietra, and I talked to Joe LaPietra that were there, his brother. And, they took away a goal from them. And then they gave him a direct free kick, I think they said, or a penalty when the time was expired. So one of the comments that Joe told me was that one of the parents from the other team that were watching the game, they went as far as telling them that we're glad that my son won, but you guys were robbed. So that goes to show you. I hope that we can... If the time permits, we're going to get Gary on a little bit so he can explain, because sometimes in soccer, referees, they take away or they give it. In this case, they took away from Gary and Brockport because they were only seconds away to go to the Sweet 16. So as much as I want to congratulate Gary on a great season, because really you got to look at the achievement that they had. They went far, and they now going to the Sweet 16. I think it's a Don Harder kind of thing, but you got to look at the positive of the thing that they were able to go there far.
That's right.
So congratulations to Gary, to Brockport, and to the whole organization, because they did a great job.
We're going to let our engineer Bob know we're going to take a break in just a moment here, try to get our guests set up for tonight's show. We may have to do a little shuffling tonight based on availability. But again, what can you say? I mentioned quickly about the LA and FC Dallas match. Dallas, got to give Kevin Hartman a lot of credit. What a great keeper he is. He stoned his former team, and he's going to the final. And Dallas and Colorado, neither one have ever won an MLS Cup championship. They're two of the original teams. Dallas has never been to the final before, and Colorado's only been there once back in 97. So we got half of the dream final and of the LA Colorado. We got Colorado in there, but it's going to be FC Dallas. And we're going to talk to Dick shortly, and it'll be interesting to see how the fans in Toronto react to this, because it's not the final I'm sure that they wanted to see up in Toronto.
Well, I have to say something about Dallas. I mean, I would think that Mr. Lamar Hunt, which he was the pioneer in the North American Soccer League, and the whole Hunt family, they built and they stayed with soccer for many, many years. If you look back, they've been in soccer since 1966, 67. When the North American Soccer League came into being, okay, so the whole thing is that I feel very, very happy that they finally achieved success.
It's going to be a great final, and it'll be this coming Sunday, 8:30 p.m. kickoff from BMO Field, and we're going to take a break here right now on Soccer is Kicking the Grass, and we'll see who we're going to have next on our show. It's either going to be Aaron Davidson, possibly Dick Howard, possibly Danny Earls, but wherever it is, stay tuned. It's going to be a great show tonight here on Soccer is Kicking the Grass, here on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and New Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Doug Miller Sports Dome, proud to be a family destination offering programs for everyone. We specialize in everything soccer, indoor driving range, golf lessons, rentable time, and birthday parties. Go to DougMillerSoccer.com or call 352-5300.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes. Great price.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsburgh, where you can get all your personalized Christmas gifts for all your friends and family. So be sure to check them out, topnotchmonogramming.com. Dick, thanks for being with us, and welcome back from beautiful Jamaica.
Yeah, it's a lovely part of the world to be in, isn't it?
Certainly. I was there once back a number of years ago, and it was definitely warm, that's for sure. And I got to see The Office, the home of the Jamaican national team, from the outside at least. So it's
The national stadium is quite a place, isn't it? They don't lose too many games, as you rightly mentioned, in The Office. But exciting things are happening in football in Jamaica. They've got a professional league that's starting to make a good impression on the football fraternity there. And the national team, of course, people always think about the Reggae Boys in 98, but they're getting back now and hopeful that they will qualify for Brazil in 2014. But there's certainly the interest in the game is tremendous throughout Jamaica.
And it always has been, going back to, you know, the days of Bob Marley. I mean, he was a huge soccer fan, and it's a game that's played all over Jamaica. Everybody plays it. It's one of the national sports. But I know you were down in there for meetings, Dick. Can you tell us what you were doing down in Jamaica?
Yeah, as you're aware, with being involved with FIFA and the development programs, we have a development program in the Caribbean that has a significant number of countries involved in. Actually, I'm involved with 7 countries in a program that's been going for the last year and a half. And we've got 4 new countries coming in. Aruba is coming into it, Dominica, St. Lucia, and St. Kitts and Nevis. And it's all tied in with youth development. And it's basically where FIFA work with the National Association to set up a youth development program that can be continued after FIFA have given the funds, you know, to get it started. So it's almost seed money. But it's really been very well received by all the countries, because they realize, and you know and Joe knows, that it is so important that you have a development program working with younger players. And a lot of the member associations now in the Caribbean are starting to do that, and there's some good programs in place.
Dick, that reminds me a lot about, you know, is this similar to the program that they do in Europe, you know, like the Primavera and all the school that they do, the big teams have, you know, to develop new players?
It's similar in some ways. The one thing with the FIFA involvement, of course, Joe, is with the National Association, and then the National Association would work with all the clubs within the country. So the FIGC, you know, the National Association in Italy, would work with all the clubs with regards to the development programs. But certainly in the Caribbean, a lot of the top players, of course, are playing outside. You've got some that are staying and playing in the professional leagues in currently in Puerto Rico, of course, we've talked about that, Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, but all their top players are playing outside. But the development has to take place within the National Association, and that's what I've been working with them on. And it could be where you're helping with a competition for women's football, possibly in schools. It could be bringing in a foreign technician to work with the coaches in the country. Every country has their own unique program, and it's been a real learning experience for me working with these national associations. But there's some good people involved, and it's going to result, I think, in significant development in the years ahead.
Well, Dick, you mentioned the women's game, and obviously the CONCACAF Women's Tournament was very eye-opening for many reasons. First of all, we got to congratulate Canada. They ran the table, did not allow a goal, and came home with the championship, and they'll be in the World Cup along with Leonardo Cuellar's Mexico team, who, of course, shocked the United States. U.S., of course, did come back and win the third-place match thanks to Abby Wambach's pair of goals, and U.S. will play Italy now for the chance to go to the World Cup. They'll play this coming Saturday in Padova at 10:30 a.m. and then the return legs in Chicago next Saturday at the 27th at 1:30. But Dick, I know that from a CONCACAF standpoint, I think they must be thrilled that, you know, Mexico has made such strides where they have recorded a victory against the top team in the world, the United States.
Great result, wasn't it? Really, I was shocked when I heard the result. But great credit to Leo Cuellar, former national team player for Mexico, played in the NASL with San Diego notably, and he's done an outstanding job with women's football in Mexico over the years. So it was great to see them getting a result of that nature. But also, you know, with Canada, I think, and we've talked about this, the work that Catalina Marachi has done with the team is really been evident in this tournament, and they played some really good football at times. So it's a case now of the U.S. hoping to get a result, and I think they will against Italy, but that really was a shocker, and it just shows you what's happening with development, because I know in case of several of the games, the games were very close. There weren't the blowouts that we've had in the past, and I think that's a significant sign that women's football is on the rise throughout the whole region.
Dick, a lot has been said about the United States team, that they're getting older and they need to develop new players, and Sundance is under fire because their game that they lost against Mexico, it brought to light that Mexico was really the better team. They were younger, they were faster, and they give the United States a bad defeat. So the development that you're talking about, you know, in Mexico and in the Caribbean country, it's really bringing a new approach to soccer, especially in the woman in the woman side of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's all due to promotion by FIFA and all this all the things that you do, I guess, is not?
Well, FIFA assists all the member associations throughout the world. All 208 member associations receive what they call an FAP, financial assistance program, which is $1 million over a four-year period. And a percentage of that has to be used for women's football. And when you add in development programs similar to the one that I'm worked in, where some countries are putting all their money into developing women's football in their country, it's a sign that they realize the importance of having a good quality program, because there are some tremendous young athletes, female athletes, not just in the Caribbean but in Central America, and we know that they're there in North America, in the States and Canada. But it's just a sign of the times. I'm quite certain that the U.S. will bounce back, and they've still got quality players, and it is just a bit of a wake-up call, and I think it's good for the game, whether that happens in women's qualifying for the World Cup, or whether it happens in the English Premiership with a team like Sunderland. going to Chelsea and doing the business, you know.
I knew you were going to mention that.
I know. Or the situation, of course, with Dallas, FC Dallas going into LA Galaxy and winning. You know, on any given day, things can happen. It can be a very unpredictable game, football, at times.
I wrote you in the note earlier today. I said, whoever thought that Chelsea and LA would both lose 3-0 at home to their opponents? It was a very surprising weekend. But let's talk about the Cup Final. And I guess from a business standpoint, for the people in Toronto, I guess they have to be a little bit unhappy with the matchup, because it's two teams that really do not have any marquee international players. I'm sure that that Toronto FC people were hoping to have David Beckham in Toronto. They could use the opportunity to market him and to get people to come to the match. But it's going to be Dallas and Colorado, and it should be a great match. But how is it going over in Toronto as far as you know?
Well, it's been slow. They've started to get the advertising in place. This morning I started to see a few ads with regards to a program prior to the final game on Sunday, but it's been overshadowed, of course, up to now. We've got the Raptors, we've got the Leafs, and we've got the Toronto Argonauts, the Canadian football team, qualified for their divisional playoffs in the Canadian Football League. So it will start to get moving. I know that Toronto FC have a big event on Wednesday night with all the players involved at a downtown location. So it's sort of when you get towards the end of the week, I'm sure you'll see a lot more in the papers. And as you rightly mentioned, probably having a David Beckham or a Thierry Henry facing each other would have been great for the attendance. But it'll still be well attended, and you know that you're going to have a good game, because both Colorado and FC Dallas, you know, they've got some talented players.
Well, you know, sometimes the names bring a lot of people, but the reality of the thing, when people look at soccer as it's played on the field, you know, superstars sometimes can ruin the game, or they can make the game. I mean, it just the way things are happening in Europe or in England, you know, the big stars, some of them are silenced. And some
it's true, Joe. Yeah, and I think MLS do a marvelous job with promotion, and I'm sure all the events when they hit town probably midweek will really generate interest for the game, and hopefully it'll be a good cold, not too cold today, but a good day to watch the game. I'm really looking forward to it. And are you coming up for the game?
Well, with Andrew and I are thinking about it, but we haven't decided, actually. It's just going to be one of those impromptu kind of things. There's so many things going on.
It's a bit difficult because the game is at night as opposed to during the day, and I can understand why with, again, the Argonauts playing in the CFL semifinal, even though the game's not in Toronto. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the Santa Claus parade is this Sunday as well, isn't it, in Toronto?
I don't know. I haven't heard about that, but I know that certainly with the Argos, they're playing in Montreal on Sunday, so it won't be in Toronto. But that's an afternoon game as opposed to the MLS final, which is an evening game, of course. But
it's probably more due to the NFL, I would imagine, than anything else. But Dick, I tell you, it's going to be a great match, and hopefully it will be fitting of a final. Like last year's final was very exciting, going all the way to penalties. And with, you know, David Ferreira, who I think now is the leading candidate for MLS MVP. And of course you got Connor Casey and Omar Cummings, and of course our Rhinos boys out there, Scott Paguda, Danny Earls, and assistant coach,
which is great, isn't
Steve
it?
Guppy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be some interest in Rochester, and we're going to have Danny Earls on in just a couple minutes. So, Dick, thanks for being with us, and next week I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about with the MLS Cup Final result, and who knows, we may hear more about the NASL and the USL Pro and what's going to happen with Division 2 and Division 3.
No, that's great. Pat, with Pat Hercule becoming president, I think great move. And also congratulations to Mr. Joe Siriani. I believe he received a very special award at the weekend. So,
thank you very much, Dick.
Well done, Joe. Thoroughly deserved. Yep. I'm sure you'll be talking about it during the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dick. We'll talk to you again next week. Dick Howard, live from Toronto here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll be joined by former Rhino and current member of the Colorado Rapids, the MLS Cup finalists. Danny Earls joins us on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass here on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, your locally owned and operated full-service auto parts store, has serviced Rochester area consumers for over 50 years. New Way stocks a full line of AC Delco and Motorcraft parts, along with Wix filters, Monroe shocks and struts, Walker exhausts, and Timken bearings. Six locations in the Rochester area, including the city, Rondacoit, Reese, Gates, Henrietta, and Farmington. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HahnAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at Salvatore's.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Dream bikes aren't bought. They're built, one part at a time, with every extra $50 that comes along. That's why Allstate Motorcycle Insurance automatically gives you $1,000 of coverage for aftermarket items. You deserve an agent who speaks your language. That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first at 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Everyone is looking for a company that can provide quality work in a timely fashion and at a reasonable price. LS Graphics is just that company. We would love to be your one-stop shop for all of your promotional and signage needs. LS Graphics, 1275 Mount Reed Boulevard. Call 436-6370. That's 436-6370. LS Graphics, what we do for you gets noticed.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. Don't forget our Twitter page is twitter.com/radiosoccer. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/radiosoccer. And coming soon is our new YouTube channel. We're going to be posting some videos from the Italian Soccer Hall of Fame dinner, plus some tidbits I have. I got to post one video, Joe, the most famous call in U.S. soccer, or broadcast on U.S. soccer, of Tony Tirado and Jorge Burruchaga scoring the goal in 1986 for Mexico. I want to get him on the show, Joe. Like, what a legend he is.
It'd be great to have him on our show.
Well, right now we have another I can't think of him as a legend, but he's going to be a legend one of these days. Oh, he's still just in his early
20s. Well, he is a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend in his own time, and we're very happy to be joined once again by former Rhino and current member of the MLS Cup finalist Colorado Rapids, Danny Earls. And Danny's appearance is brought to you by the newly renamed Doug Miller Family Sports Park in Spencerport, presented by Kodak. Danny, thanks for being with us, and big congratulations on getting to the MLS Cup final.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Danny, I tell you, you must be ecstatic that, you know, you were in Rochester, you went to Colorado, and now here you are in the final. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was just talking to Scott, actually, this morning, Scotty Pagliaro this morning about that. It's been a crazy ride, to be fair. It's been a roller coaster of the last 3 years, you know, coming to America, first of all, and going to Rochester, being so great there, you know, and obviously getting to the playoffs there, it's been great. So, unfortunately, I've been in the playoffs last 3 years, which is a good thing, and now we're finally in a final. We've never had that bit of luck in Rochester, I don't think, so hopefully this year we can finally get a ring on our finger.
Danny, tell us about the match on Saturday against San Jose. Obviously, it was a hard-fought match, just a 1-0 scoreline, and Kosuke Kimura with the only goal, an unlikely source for the match winner. But I know the both teams fought very hard in the match, and it was close all the way. Tell us about it from your standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to always be the case in big games, right? Big players never really score the goals. But, I mean, Connor and Omar have been great for us all season. They've really carried the team through it with all their goals, you know. So, it was good to get a different name on the score sheet. I feel like Kosuke, he's one of the hardest workers at the club, you know. He couldn't have asked for a better lad to score a goal. It was good play, actually. Went down the wing, obviously cut back and whipped in a ball. His left foot was in his strong foot. So, it was a shot come cross, you could say. So, it was a good goal, you know. It was a great game. After the game, the atmosphere was unbelievable. I think it's the biggest crowd we've had there all season, something like 18,000, so... I mean, everyone was up on their feet, and it was a real, real great atmosphere. It was great to experience as a young player.
Now, tell us about how you saw the match. I mean, you were obviously not in the 18, unfortunately, but you were there on the bench, I'm sure, watching the match. What was it like for you, the flow of the match? How did you see it?
I mean, I think at Dick's, at our home pitch, I'm gonna say bold statement, we've been unstoppable lately, you know. The lads have been unbelievable. Like it's the pitch suits us perfect. Big pitch, we've got a lot of pace in our team. We like to play the ball around as well, so suits us perfect. I knew San Jose, where they were up against it coming in, to be honest. They're a good team, but I mean, I just felt we were going to be too strong in the night. And with players like Omar, and you got Pablo in the middle of the park, like such like class players like that, it's only going to go our way. But the game was open, I felt, you know, for a semi-final to two good defences. I thought there was a lot of chances. We could have come away with a couple more goals in the end, but like my heart was in my throat a little bit. So overall, it was a great result.
Here with Danny Earls of the Colorado Rapids, former member of the Rhinos. Go ahead, Joe.
Danny, I'm sure you watched the game last night between Dallas and L.A. What's the preparation, and what are you guys going to do to stop Dallas? You know, they seem to be pretty formidable a midfield, you know, especially the midfield. You know, they control the ball really well, distribution good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Dallas, you got to give them credit. They're a good team, you know. They went 19 games unbeaten this season. Like, no team does that without being good. So, first of all, you got to give them credit. But I feel like we've got a good midfield as well, you know. We got players like Brian Mullen, he's won 4 championships. Pablo Mastroianni, he's played in 2 World Cups. So, I mean, you can't underestimate, like, the players we've got in there as well, you know. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's on a tight pitch. Toronto's is a tight pitch, so it might be a little congested, but I feel once it gets into it, into the flow, I think it's going to open up. It's going to be a really exciting game for the fans. I think you've got two good attacking teams, and it's going to be a good one, and hopefully we can come away with a result.
Now, obviously, one of the big factors in this match, Danny, could be the weather conditions. It's going to be cold in Toronto at 8:30 on a Sunday night, and obviously Dallas is a warm weather team, and you guys are used to playing in the cold weather. It was pretty cold up in Colorado on Saturday. Do you think that's going to play into the match? How much of a factor do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's obviously, as you say, it was cold the other night, you know. The lads, I think the lads dealt with it quite well. I think everyone's become accustomed to it here now in the last couple of months, because it has been getting a bit a bit colder, but and Dallas, as you say, isn't really used to it. But at the end of the day, I think it's a one-off game. You know, it just boils down to it being a final and who wants it more. I mean, yeah, you can. If you lose, I think you can blame the weather. But I think at the end of the day, if you want it more, the weather's not going to be a major factor. You know, I think Dallas will come here with their head screwed on, and like they're going to know it's going to be cold. You know, but it won't be. I think they'll get caught up in the moment too much, and once the game gets going, they won't even think about it.
You know what I really think, Denny? It's going to be cold for the people that are going to be sitting on the bench. The guys that are going to be on the field, they're not going to feel the cold. They get caught in the moment. They know they have a job to do, and once the whistle blows, it's a game. And in a game, you don't feel nothing, just the adrenaline, you know, that takes over. And so the cold, I don't think, is going to be a factor for the guys that are on the pitch. It might be a factor for the people that are sitting on the sideline, and for the fans, of course, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, it's good, as I say, it's going to be a good game. People can always bring extra coach, you know. It's a one-off game, so you got to go there and enjoy it somehow. So, as I say, if you say the lads on the pitch, I don't think they'll be affected by it a lot. As you say, the adrenaline will be going. There's too much at stake to be worrying about it being cold, I think, you know.
Dave, I know that the fans in Rochester, I guess we're a little disappointed we haven't seen you on the pitch for Colorado in the last, during the playoffs. I know that it's been a tough road for yourself and Scott, because Colorado has such a solid defense, and you got Marvell Wynn, the U.S. International, Drew Moore doing very well, obviously Kimura doing great on the flank, and so it's tough to break a Julien Baudet, of course, the French player. It's going to be tough to break into that lineup, but how are you dealing with that?
Yeah, as I say, that's football, you know. I feel I don't want to generalize the question, but you have your ups and downs. You know, the first half of the season, I was fantastic. I started 16 games, you know. So to say I've done that in the first MLS season, I feel like it's a great achievement personally. But once you get there, you don't really want to rest on your laurels, you know. I feel like I got there, and I'm. Obviously, it's disappointing to be on the bench. I want to push on, you know. I can't. If I was happy to just start the first half and sit on the bench, I think there'd be something wrong. I'd be in the wrong sport, you know. So obviously, it gets to me, but at the same time, I'm still chuffed for the lads that are there, like for us to be in the final. And like, it's no one's fault, you know. It's just football the way it goes. You said lads have had such a great run of it. The manager can't really find a way to change it. So I mean, we're winning, and it's got to stay the final. So it's unfortunate. From a personal point of view, but as a team player, like I'm just happy for everyone. Hopefully, I'll be in the squad for the final, and if not, there's always next year to come back stronger and get back in the team.
I'm giving Joe the ring, saying it doesn't matter. You're gonna get one of those big championship rings if Colorado brings home the trophy on Sunday night. So I'm sure that'll be something that you'll be very, very happy to see happen, especially getting just. At the start of your professional career and coming home with a championship, if you know the Rapids could push through and beat Dallas on Sunday. Of course, the two teams tied their two matches, so it's really a toss up. I think either team, I think whoever wants it more is gonna come away with the victory.
That's exactly it. I mean, as you say, yeah. Ever since I came to America and I found out about championship rings, I've wanted one ever since. Fortunately, we couldn't deal with Rochester, but hopefully, yeah, this is the year. This year be that much sweeter if I got to play, if I was on the field. But I mean, listen, a championship ring is a championship ring, you know. You can't take that away from me. So I feel, yeah, it's going to be a toss up. However, I think that's like always the way it is in finals, you know. You can't really call an underdog in a final. I think it's whoever wants it more and who has a desire to go out there and show it, you know. You got to leave your body out there and do all you can to help you and your teammates to get the win.
Danny, I know Joe, you and I agree that we're rooting for Colorado, obviously,
and of course, yeah.
Because of the, you know,
the connection.
All of our Rhino connections there. So we'll be watching on Sunday. 8:30 is the start of the program on ESPN, the MLS Cup final from BMO Field. I'm sure there'll be some Rhino fans that are going to make the trip up to Toronto, right around Lake Ontario, to see the match and root on the Rapids. So, Danny, wish you guys the best of luck on Sunday, and we'll hopefully we'll see the Rapids raise the Dewar trophy. Well, maybe they'll do that some other time, but the trophy for MLS championship.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate you having me. It was a pleasure.
Same here.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.
Danny Earls, of course.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Danny Earls from the Colorado Rapids. Of course, the Dewar Trophy is the U.S. Open Cup, not right. the MLS Cup. A little slip of the tongue there. But I mentioned we're going to be having Aaron Davidson on from Miami FC in just a couple of moments as we get him on the line through our crack engineer, Bob D'Angelo. But it's going to be a great final, Joe. I'm looking forward to it. And I know that we're going to have some great action up at BMO Field. And again, if you're going to the match, wear layers. Wear your hat, wear your gloves, etc. But some places where it's not, you don't need hats and gloves, certainly, is beautiful Miami, Florida. And Miami FC had an excellent season this year. That we're definitely had the Rhinos number in the last couple of matches. But we're very happy to have with us now a gentleman who is one of the top men in the NASL and with Miami FC, the president of the club, Aaron Davidson. And Aaron, his appearance today is brought to you by Allstate Insurance agent Enzo Scolo. You can check out his website at ScoloInsuranceAgencies.com. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Davidson, and how are you tonight?
Yes, no, good evening. Sorry. A few dogs here walking around now. Thank you very much for having me on the show. Good evening. How's everyone up there?
Doing well. Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? That's probably appropriate for the way things have gone the last 4 years, right?
Mr. Davidson.
Who let the dogs out of the USL, right?
Yeah. First of all, did you have a good trip back? I caught you in Argentina.
Yeah, I was down in Argentina. We, for those of you who follow the soccer industry a bit, traffic has run the Copa America since 1987. So, yeah, we were down there for the Copa America draw, which was on Wednesday, and it was fantastic. The country is really, really getting excited about the tournament next July, and obviously with the way the South American countries performed at the World Cup, and with the World Cup next one being in Brazil, there's a lot of excitement about soccer in South America.
What did you do about Maradona? Is he going to be then involved in the Argentinian national team anymore? What do you think?
I think his days are gone unless there's some major mistakes made between now and the Copa America or now in the World Cup. I think it's just, it's one of those things. He's they love him, and no one really wants to point fingers, but I mean he's a hero for life there. But at the end of the day, he's not the right solution for their national team.
Well, that's good. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of time left till the next World Cup. We just got done with this one, but something that is currently a hot topic right now in soccer, of course, in Rochester is the situation with the NASL and the USL Pro League. Now, from what I honestly was very surprised when I saw the release last week about the return of the Atlanta Silverbacks, who have not been involved or active in the last couple of years on the men's side, at least. Now, can you give us some information about how they came back into being, and has there been a change at the top there, or what caused them to come back for the 2011 season in the NASL?
Well, I think the reality is they're your perfect example of an ownership group which is as pure as they come from a soccer perspective. Boris Yerkunica, being Croatian and probably one of the groups which spearheaded this effort long before I got involved, long before Traffic got involved. There was a group of core teams at USL 1 that recognized that the model no longer worked and that they wanted to change it. But like everything, until you have a sufficient critical mass, you can't finally tilt the scales. And Montreal and Atlanta and even the former owners of Rochester recognized that in the past, but they could never get the critical mass across the line. And so Boris is not, believe it or not, even though he hasn't played the last couple of seasons, I think he might be the smartest one in the group. He finally said, I'm fed up with this structure. As a Joey Saputo in Montreal done in the past when they took a year off, and said, we're not playing until this league finally is structured a way where our team and our investments can grow in value. And so he's always been on the sidelines. He's got a great little complex there in Atlanta and a great part of town. I went to college there. I know it well. And once he realized we got our act together, he was always ready, willing, and able to step in.
Mr. Davidson, just Tell us a little bit about the North America Soccer League, the status right now. I know that next week is supposed to be an announcement made by United States Soccer. You know, tell us about the, if you would, please. You know, the steps that are going to be taken.
Well, look, most people know this has been an effort to elevate second division to what it should be, and frankly, what even MLS needs below it. We need a stable league. Don Garber said it over and over again. I mean, he needs a solid second division below MLS. It will only grow the game here, and it's frankly, the last few years, to a certain extent, from an outside perspective, have been quite embarrassing. Because rather than the USL allow us to do what we have to do as teams, which is gain control of the league and grow it, they fought back. Even as recently as 3 months ago at the meeting with the Federation, rather than simply say, okay, you all wanted it, you've got it, run with second division, which is ultimately what's happened, they still had the gall to tell the Federation and us to our faces that they plan on running a second division league in this country. And that's not healthy for soccer. It's still such a fledgling sport for people who are investing the amount of money we invest in the sport to have to put up with that nonsense is crazy. So where are we at? We finally got the elevation, the second division standards by the Federation elevated to the point where we believe second division will be run at the level it should be run. And sure, those standards were issued August 8th. So you don't necessarily find 8 to 10 teams automatically that are going to comply with those elevated standards. We hoped we would. Now we managed to find a way with the 6 core teams plus Atlanta and Minnesota to really, really drive the league forward at the second division level. And we, like I've said many times in this process, we didn't pick our family. We inherited a lot of it, most of it. And now it's about starting to pick our family. If you look at the ownership group in San Antonio for 2012, you look at the ownership group for the team we now that bought a franchise, by the way, for that much higher price than has ever been paid at USL for 2013. We are now starting to plug in Edmonton in 2011 that we sold last year. We're now starting to plug in owners. Forget about the $20 million standard at U.S. Soccer. Real owners who can actually drive this league forward collectively. Our individual franchise values, the value of the league, the perception of the league, and what we expect the Federation to do this Sunday, to answer your question directly, is to approve our league as the one and only second division league in U.S. soccer and Canadian soccer.
Okay. Mr. Davis, one of the questions that I have had, and hopefully you can answer this for me, based on what I read from U.S. soccer, one of the criteria for this league has to be that 6 of the 8 teams have to be based in the United States, or 75%, which would be 6 out of the 8 teams that are listed. Puerto Rico, from FIFA and CONCACAF's perspective, is considered a separate federation from the United States, because Puerto Rico Islanders qualify for CONCACAF Champions League through the Caribbean Federation rather than through the United States. So is Puerto Rico considered a U.S. franchise or not?
Well, look, I think now we're starting to split hairs, right? You got a what amounts to a country but is a territory of the U.S. that carries U.S. passports. They can still field their own national team. But to me, you got to take a step back. These rules were promulgated from a spirit standpoint. What do we need in general terms for second division to finally thrive and flourish? Flourish and thrive. What do we need? I mean, if we're going to go down to the bare details and question whether a league of 8 teams should be sanctioned or not because there's a Puerto Rico with one of the 8 teams and there's 2 Canadian teams, one of which is going to MLS next season but wants to keep a team in our league, and San Antonio's coming in 2012, if we're going to go that far to say this league is not going to be sanctioned based on that technicality, we're losing sight of the overall essence and meaning of why this league was established and the role it's going to play in U.S. and Canadian soccer and Caribbean soccer. So while your question is good, the blunt answer is it should not even be, it's not even a factor that will come into play.
The other question that I have is, there is an opportunity that the MLS might come out with a league like they had, you know, a developing league that maybe steals away the young prospect of soccer. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, look, I think MLS, we all, they have their own issues, right? They've got their own investments to make at the pro level. To the extent the lower division leagues, whether it's NASL, USL Pro, or PDL, can help them fill their development needs, we all should. But there's going to be varying degrees of needs there, right? I mean, what the NASL represents will fill a much different need for MLS than what USL Pro will fill and what PDL will fill. And so there's, like I've said all along, there's a lot of room in soccer in North America. There's no reason to duke it out. Everyone just needs to understand where we're at in the development of the game here. And second division grew to the point where the teams need to run it. That doesn't mean there's no room for USL Pro. We will continue to work with the USL Pro teams. If at the league level, officials or owners of USL want to make a bigger deal about it than it is, then they'll make it. But at the team levels, between Miami FC and Charleston, Miami FC and the Richmond Kickers, if it makes sense for them to loan a player to us or us to loan a player, then we will. I mean, that's the spirit of developing the game in this country. If people are going to dig in their feet at the league level and try to create friction where there's no friction, it's never going to happen. So your question about MLS and reserve leagues are reserve leagues. Second division or second division. You guys who follow soccer around the world know the big difference between a second division league and a reserve league. You can't compare the two.
Well, Mr. Davidson, we're running out of time here. We want to thank you for being on the show. Obviously, this weekend we're supposed to hear the news based on reports from Toronto. We're going to hear the result, and is NASL going to be sanctioned? We'd like to have you back on in the show again soon to talk about this. Either way, whatever happens with the NASL, whether it's sanctioned or not, to get your comments and talk more about Miami FC as well. So thanks for being on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate your time and your coverage of the sport and what you all do for it. You all are critical to its success as well. And I'll just leave you with my question. Why in the world wouldn't they sanction us? What are they going to do with all these teams that have all these players, coaches, and employees we hire and staff in this country for the good of the game? I have no idea. So I just don't see a scenario where they don't. So for anyone, for those people shooting darts at us questioning why we'd be sanctioned, ask yourselves those questions. Where will Montreal play next season? Where will Miami FC play next season? Where will Carolina play next season? We're definitely not dropping down to third division. So,
well, thanks very much, Mr. Davidson. This is a very good question. And like I said, we'll know the answer in just a matter of days. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Aaron Davidson, president of Miami FC, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we will hear from the new president and COO of the Rhinos, Pat Erkely, with his comments about the situation. That's next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Marcus Hahnemann from the U.S. Men's National Team. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Diplomat Party House and Banquet Center is ready for your event. Trade shows, business meetings, anniversaries, showers, conventions. But weddings are their specialty. Service has been the Diplomat's priority since 1957. Quality of food and atmosphere, always world-class, at affordable prices. The Diplomat Banquet Center. One Diplomat Way, 2 miles from 390 in Gates. 647-1566. DiplomatBanquetCTR.com.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Sirianni. Bob D'Angelo is at the WYSL controls. Don't forget, next week we'll be back on our regular time at 6:30 p.m. on WYSL. And we want to pre-thank our guests tonight, Aaron Davidson, Danny Earls, Jason Gillum from the Colorado Rapids, and of course Eric Trendle and Dave Selinsky from the Rhinos. Because we want to get to our final guests tonight, the new president and COO of the Rochester Rhinos, Pat Erkley. And Pat's appearance is brought to you by the Rhinos. You can get your 2011 season tickets by calling 454-KICK. It's a great Christmas present for all the soccer fans you have in your family. Pat, thanks for being with us, and congratulations on your promotion.
Well, thank you, guys. How's everyone doing tonight?
Should I call you Mr. President now or what?
Hail to the chief.
Well, the First Lady is in the other room, so.
Well, that's a good thing. say hello to the First Lady. Pat, I will. Yeah, let's go to, did you listen to the previous guest?
Yes, Aaron Davidson. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to get your comments on a couple things he said now. He seems pretty confident that the NASL is going to be sanctioned on Sunday up in Toronto. Because that's what we've heard, that's where the decision's going to be made and when. Do you think that he his facts are accurate and they will be sanctioned?
Well, I mean, you made a point in regards to splitting hairs in regards to not having the appropriate U.S.-based teams compared to the total. So I don't know. I mean, I would think that the U.S. Federation would take those things into account and make a decision on that that's best for everybody. But again, we didn't base our decision because we thought that we would be in the second division or whatever you want to call it, the third division. But we based our decision on what made sense. We looked at the business model that was best for our organization. We looked at longevity. In the sport, stability in the sport, and realized that their business model showed excessive costs in different areas. And, you know, last year was a proven example of that for us in regards to travel. I mean, travel was triple what it cost us in the past. And, you know, those were some of the concerns that we had. But more so than that, you know, when we joined last year, there was a point where we actually wanted to draw back because we didn't believe that we were headed in the right direction right off the start. And being good partners, we stayed in there for the season just because the U.S. Federation drew the two leagues together. So essentially, we were still under the USL umbrella. If you notice, we were under that division.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and we looked at it, okay, we're in this for the year, let's go ahead with it. And then, you know, we felt at that point, even now, that it was a poor decision just because by the time the schedule came out, by the time the Soccer Federation did make a decision and they made a decision, it was March. We lost sponsorship packages. We lost season tickets. A lot of different things that we had planned for, we couldn't plan for accurately. So in our minds, rather than play this game again this year, we decided, you know, let's go with the league that is sanctioned because we'll get out of the gate right off the start. And I can tell you, I've been in the office for the last 4 or 5 days. There's a lot of excitement for what transpired last year in regards to on-the-field product, in the stadium product. We've been getting numerous calls from sponsors that want to team up with us again. Season tickets have been going great because there's a direction. There's a direction in regards to knowing that we're in a league that is sanctioned, knowing that there's going to be a schedule that's going to come out very shortly. And there's some there's a lot of credibility in that. So I think in our minds, we feel that we've made the best business decision. And a fiscally responsible decision.
Pat, one of the things I want to ask you, and I thought about this over the past few days with Joe and I, and one of the things I'm thinking is the NASL teams that are coming in that were in the league last year. I can't see any reason why they're going to go out and get a lot of new players, any foreign stars or anybody like that. It seems like they may actually have a lot of the same players that they have this year. I mean, Montreal may be an exception as they get ready for MLS, but I would think the Rhinos are going to have much of the same players as the new Austin/Orlando franchise will. So really, is it more of a business side change for the NASL versus the USL Pro?
Yeah, I mean, for us it was. And essentially, you know, if you look at the even in that league right now, they have eight teams, so-called teams, because in reality, there may be some assistance from other teams in the league to be able to get to eight teams. You know, that's hearsay. I don't want to put words in my mouth here, but essentially, you have eight teams. Last year, we had 12 teams, and right out of the gates, we had issues with two or three teams that told us that they were already in financial trouble within a month. So with 12 teams, you're capable of kind of jockeying in regards to trying to keep a league afloat through the course of a season. And this happens in all leagues, but the reality of it, when you're down to six to eight teams, it becomes that much more difficult to do that. So, you know, in our case, there's 16 teams in our league. It's a lot easier for us to help each other in quantity. In addition to that, when you build a schedule, when you're at six or eight teams, I mean, we were in a league like that where we had seven teams the first year as the Rhinos. You tend to end up playing the same teams over and over again, and it's not necessarily the best thing for your fan base.
Pat, you know, Joe, we unfortunately we're running out of time here. We're up against it, but Pat, let's have you back on really soon. And obviously, the decision is going to be made this weekend in Toronto, allegedly. So let's have you back on really soon, and we'll talk more about this whole situation.
Next Monday,
if we can,
okay,
if you're available.
All right, guys, you have a good night. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Pat Erkley here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And, you know, we need more than an hour sometimes, George. It goes by so fast. But we're going to have Pat back on next week to continue this discussion. We're going to hold the questions for next week. We can do it as part of my wife's birthday celebration on next week's show.
Oh, good.
We'll get a lot more information from Pat. And we'll know then next week, hopefully, is the NASL going to be sanctioned or not? And we'll know. We'll ask more pointed questions. But, again, thanks, everyone, for joining us for Soccer's Kick and Ass. We're back next Monday at 6:30 right here on WYSL FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL. For Joe Sirianni, I'm Andrew Battisti. Have a good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Doug Miller Sports Dome, the Diplomat Banquet Center, the Soccer Shack, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, and Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass